Good afternoon. I'd like to call the Senate Finance Committee meeting to order. Please silence all cell phones. The time is 1:35 on Wednesday, March 13, 2024. Today, I am joined by Co-Chair Stedman, Senator Bishop, Senator Keel, Senator Merricks. Senator Wilson is away on other business, and Senator Hoffman is also gone on another business. We'd like to take up Senate Bill 118 by Senator Merrick this afternoon. Senate Bill 118 is the critical and essential minerals. This is first hearing. Senator Merrick, please go ahead and present it with your bill, and if you'd like to have your staff come on up, identify himself for the record, and present your bill, please.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Chair Olson and honorable members of the Senate Finance Committee, for the opportunity to present Senate Bill 118, Critical Natural Resources Reports. For the record, I'm Kelly Merrick. I'm the Senator for District L in beautiful Chubiak Eagle River. Senate Bill 118 was crafted alongside industry and directs the state to assess our critical mineral potential and identify strategies to attract investment. Critical and essential minerals are things like lithium, copper, cobalt, zinc, and more. These minerals are key components of modern technology that we use every day. We need to ensure the world can continue to access these resources without relying on adversarial nations. Alaska can play an important role in the supply chain for the nation and for our allies around the world. Mr. Chairman, demand will continue to increase as renewable energy development grows. These minerals are needed in emerging technologies like electric vehicles and solar panels, as well as in our national defense systems. You will hear a presentation this afternoon from Mr. Lance Miller, Vice President of Natural Resources with NANA Incorporated. Mr. Miller got his bachelor's degree in geology from Stanford, his master's in economic geology from the University of Alaska Fairbanks, and finally a PhD in economic and structural geology from the University of Arizona. Mr. Miller is a subject expert and has authored and co-authored more than 25 scientific publications. I love this quote Lance said in his NANA employee highlight, quote, "Mining can be done in a responsible way with respect for the land and for subsistence. That's the bottom line," unquote. Chair Olson, Senate Bill 118 has the potential to increase investment in Alaska and strengthen our national security. My staff, Carrie Crocker, is available for a sectional analysis or to answer any questions.
We have any questions by members of the committee for the bill sponsor? No questions? Mr. Crocker, please go ahead and put the sectional.
For the record, Carrie Crocker, staff to Senator Merrick. Section 1 of the bill adds a new section of uncodified law to produce three reports. The Office of the Governor shall generate a plan for exploration, production, refining, and development of critical minerals used in emerging technology. The Department of Natural Resources shall compare Alaska's current potential critical mineral production to national and international production, including regulation, permitting, and incentives. The report should identify strategies to increase exploration development over the next 3, 5, and 10 years. The Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development shall identify the state's role in innovation, manufacturing, transportation to support the global green energy transition.
Do we have any questions by members of the committee for Mr. Crocker? If not, thank you very much for that. Next, first of invited testimonies, Mr. Lance Miller, Vice President of Natural Resources for the NANA Corporation. Mr. Miller, are you on, sir?
I am. Can you all hear me okay?
You're coming in loud and clear. Your first slide is up, and we have somebody to go ahead and advance the slide deck for you. So go ahead with your presentation.
Awesome. Thank you. Well, it's a pleasure to have the opportunity to present today. And I guess a disclaimer that, you know, the views here are my own and not necessarily my employer and other folks. But I think, you know, right off, Alaska does have the opportunity to participate in the mineral supply chain value chain. Obviously, on the extraction side, we're well poised, and how we fit in refining, processing, and manufacturing are opportunities for the future. Next slide, please. although a lot of the focus is on the need for minerals for basically for renewables, I always like to frame things that global population alone will drive much of this demand. The right side of the slide shows some bar graphs of copper, zinc, bronze. They've been around thousands of years, of course. Just an interesting kind of a fun frame. As important as oil is to our economy, the global economy, oil and actually ice hockey came on the scene about the same time around the 1860s, so relatively newcomers. So we're still in the Middle Age. The other thing I'd like you look at is the red sort of shaded part of that graph. In the last few hundreds of years, the Earth has added billions of people. Again, the population is growing. That's going to create demand. And one thing you can always count on is demographics. The left side of the slide shows the world demographics, males and females, in 2022. Like to just point out two blips, one around 30 to 35 age range, which are millennials. They've now outpaced or outpopulated, if you will, baby boomers. Both in the U.S., and this is a global one, of course, and then the bulge down around 5-10 years old. So as those ages move up through their life cycle, there's going to be more demand for minerals. In addition, there's a lot of international pressures and goals by the U.N. and others to move people out of poverty. As that happens, resource use is going to increase. Next slide, please. I think everybody's familiar with the five metal mines and one coal mine in Alaska, but I like this map because if we were to use the same density of mines that British Columbia has in Alaska, we would have 18 metal mines. And arguably, Alaska has better geological prospectivity. So again, the potential is here. Next slide, please. This one should be up the graph showing how long it takes, which I know people are, and this crew is well aware of that. It's literally decades to build a mine. A lot of the focus has been where we can cut things, or not cut them down, but basically help the process is on the permitting side. But I like this graph because it really shows there's so many technical aspects from exploration to pre-feasibility, feasibility, to eventual construction that have to be addressed as well. From the geology to drilling to resources to mine plan processing. So you can't take shortcuts on any of these things, and they do take time and money. In addition, as this slide shows, it takes thousands of prospects to end up with a few that are actually go to pre-feasibility to feasibility and hopefully a mine. Next slide, please. Now, the next couple of these are really about just some examples of metal use. And I think this slide is pretty cool when you have a cell phone from, 20, 25 years ago, and then the one on the right-hand side of the slide is today's smartphone. If you look at the periodic table, there's twice as many elements in the periodic table used in a phone today as it was 20, 25 years ago. So again, the takeaways, as technology evolves, metal consumption goes up. But also, these are consumer-driven. Now, fun fact, there's over 8 billion cell phones in the world. Again, as people move up in the economic, basically, spectrum, they're going to buy more of these types of goods, more durable goods, meaning fridges and cars and things like that. So there's a driver. Next slide, please. This really speaks to the amount of metals needed for, in this case, electric car. Of course, 200 kilograms per vehicle, this shows in things like copper and graphite and lithium compared to about 40, which is mainly copper and some graphite manganese for a conventional car. But interestingly here is the consumer uptake has been relatively slow. A lot of these projected demands were based on really aspirational goals of the nation and of global organizations to reach net zero. This will still happen, but it's maybe not happening quite as much. Nonetheless, metals are needed. Copper is a great example. Estimates are we'll need as much copper in the next 25 years as we have had, as we've mined in the last 5,000. Next slide, please. And this is Red Dog. Being a zinc zealot, can't not speak of Red Dog. Of course, it's a significant critical minerals mine due to the zinc. Produces lead, silver, but also germanium. And just speaking to germanium a little, the U.S. demand for germanium consumption is about 30 tons, which isn't a lot, but it's really important. It's a strategic mineral, important for the military as well. And a lot of the focus has been, even at the U.S. level, of how we can have domestic supplies when much is coming from China. Next slide, please. And this speaks, though, to some of these more, if you will, the boutique minerals, critical minerals, rare earth elements, where you really need a large deposit that will pay for them. So in the case of Red Dog, zinc is, you wouldn't be mining there if it weren't for the zinc. Germanium comes along with it. Similarly, cobalt, usually associated with copper deposits. So for a lot of these metals that are so important for national security, they really are byproducts of a more major, in these cases, say, base metal commodity. Next slide, please. So we can't discuss critical minerals without mention of China. And this map is what's called is the Belt and Road Initiative that China did starting about 25 years ago. And it's easier for them to do it as a planned economy than us as a market economy because economics aren't as critical. But they had that long-term vision. I actually was in China in the 90s and at Bayanobo, which is a rare earth element deposit, and you could see this happening. They had the foresight. As an example in this, they mine cobalt from Africa and bring it to China to be processed and then with their supply chain distribute to the global market. So this is what we're up against. They are kind of, have controlled a lot of things and it's not good for our national security. However, on the flip side, it's interesting that the metals boom we've had basically the last 15, 20 years has been due to the growth and the demand for metals, albeit planned economy, but metals in China. So they've actually helped mining in the U.S. and in Alaska as well. Next slide, please. So what's all this mean? I think, really domestic metal production, processing, manufacturing is not set up to accommodate the projected demand or even the present demand, never mind projected, for the various reasons we've talked about, the project pipelines, metal cycles, permitting, and technical aspects. What needs to be done? I think at the federal level, we may need some new policies, financing, even subsidies, to really meet these goals. But the caveat there is that's if the U.S. wants a secure domestic supply chain, which it seems like some of the actions are that we're relying on some of our friendly partners for parts of that supply chain. But what can Alaska do? We have the resource potential. It does need more focused exploration, research, and, fair financing to do those things. And then along the way, as we figure that out a little bit more definitively, then we can also look at processing opportunity and capability. That's perhaps a longer term but very important aspect of the value chain. So to understand where we are and where we need to go, yes, no surprise. We do need a critical minerals strategy. Next slide, please. And with that, just like to wrap up again. Thank you for the opportunity to do this. I love this quote. Max Planck, the father of quantum theory, mining is not everything, but without mining, everything is nothing. So thank you.
Thank you very much for coming out this afternoon, Mr. Miller. Do you have any questions of Mr. Miller by members of the committee? Mr. Miller, I do have a question on, I think it's slide 3, where you've got the mining activity here in the state of Alaska. The one thing, it's my understanding that there is a rare earth metals deposit down in southeast Alaska. Is that on that map, sir?
It is not. It's called Bokan Mountain. This is from Alaska Miners, and what it, to get on the map, it's either a producing mine or one with a pre-feasibility study, okay. I believe. So, but yeah, it is. It's down in southern southeast on Prince of Wales. Yep.
And is Bokan Mountain, is that a significant deposit there?
Well, it's interesting. I'll put it that way. It's yttrium, as I recall, ytterbium, and there's a core of uranium there. That's how it was first discovered. I'm not that much of a – I don't really understand the markets for those elements that are used in magnets and such. So I can't really speak to that. It is an interesting occurrence, though, for sure.
Any further questions by members of the committee for Mr. Miller? Again, thank you very much for coming out this afternoon, Mr. Miller. Our next person up is Karen Mathias. Ms. Mathias, are you on, ma'am?
Yes, I am.
Please identify yourself for the record and go ahead with your testimony.
For the record, my name is Karen Mathias, and I'm the Executive Director of Alaska Metal Mines, formerly the Council of Alaska Producers. Thank you for this opportunity to testify in support of Senate Bill 118. Senator Merrick spoke of the increasing global demand for responsibly produced metals and minerals. Unfortunately, our country's current dependence on mineral imports, often from adversarial countries, is a risk to our energy transition, national security, and the economy. Clearly, the United States needs more domestic mineral production, and Alaska, with its abundance of minerals and rigorous regulatory process, should be part of the solution. Since Lance Miller gave a great overview of the demand for mineral production and the benefits for Alaska, I'll use my time to focus on a few additional points on the value of a strategy. We only have a handful of large mines in Alaska, and several will reach their projected end of mine life in the next decade unless they have further successful exploration and renewed permits. As Dr. Miller pointed out, it takes decades to develop an exploration project into a mine, and most never get there. Now is the time to develop a strategy to encourage investment, exploration, and development so we don't end up in a mineral crisis with mines closing and Alaska losing skilled workers and technical expertise that was built up over decades. Alaska's economy needs diversification, not contraction. Other countries have recognized the risk of relying on imports for minerals critical to their security and economic well-being, and they've developed strategies to secure those supplies. Canadian provinces and Australian states are already implementing strategies to increase domestic production. These government-led strategies send a message to investors that the state welcomes investment and wants to see the mining industry grow. Alaska risks being left behind. We appreciate that Senate Bill 118 does not focus exclusively on the term critical minerals because there are at least three different federal lists, and they change from year to year. While these lists help draw attention to the need to increase domestic mineral production, Alaska's focus should be on production of Alaska minerals. We have one of the largest zinc mines in the world, as you heard, and tremendous copper resources. But Alaska also produces gold and silver, and we have rich deposits of many other minerals, such as cobalt, graphite, and rare earth elements. So why do we have so few mines? Because Alaska's high energy costs and lack of infrastructure make it more difficult to turn deposits into producing mines. We all know about the concept of industry clusters like Silicon Valley and the Biomed Research Triangle in North Carolina. They bring together companies, suppliers, R&D, and workforce development that support one another. The fact is, Alaska needs a diverse mining industry to create that mutual support. Gold may not be on any critical mineral list, because it's not in short supply, but Alaska's gold mines are key to the health of the industry here because they help develop skilled workers, university research and vocational programs, and the businesses that supply goods and service to the mining industry. This makes Alaska more attractive to new companies who are considering where to invest. Senate Bill 118 calls for the state to investigate strategies to encourage investment and increase exploration and production of critical and essential minerals. It would be particularly useful if the strategy included a list of specific statutory and regulatory changes needed to move this goal forward. Some of this work has already been done through the annual Minerals Commission report, so that's an obvious place for them to start. And thank you very much for this opportunity to testify today in support of this bill.
Do we have any questions for Ms. Mathias, my members of the committee? If not, thank you very much for coming out, Ms. Mathias.
Thank you.
Our next item up are the fiscal notes. We've got two fiscal notes, one by the Mr. Sandra Moeller and Melanie Worden. You want to have some comments on the fiscal notes?
Hello, this is, for the record, my name is Melanie Worden, Director, Department of Natural Resources, Division of Geological and Geophysical Surveys. One part of this bill, through the chair, this bill tasked the Department of Natural Resources to provide a report to the legislature. And the Division of Geological and Geophysical Surveys, in cooperation with Division of Mining, Land, and Water, will have submitted a fiscal note for personal services for a position to work on creating the DNR portion of the report for this Senate Bill 118.
Okay. Thank you very much for coming out, and thank you very much for commenting on that. Next, Sandra Moeller, the Director of the Division of Community and Regional Affairs, Department of Commerce. Ms. Moeller, are you on, ma'am?
Yes, I am, Mr. Chair. Can you hear me?
You're coming in loud and clear. You just want to comment on the fiscal note that's accompanying this bill.
Yes, Mr. Chair, thank you. This is Sandra Moeller, Director of Division of Community and Regional Affairs. The version of the bill that requires a report by the division does have a fiscal note, which would facilitate gathering the information and providing the data, possible purchase. I believe the companion bill has, the total for that fiscal note is $304.4. The companion bill has been amended to move the reporting to the Minerals Commission, and with that Minerals Commission change, there would be a zero fiscal note for the division. Thank you.
Any questions of Ms. Moeller by members of the committee? If not, thank you very much for coming out this afternoon.
Thank you.
I'd like to go and open it up to public testimony. Is anybody in the room that wants to go ahead and testify on this bill? If not, is there anybody online that wants to go ahead and testify on this bill? Nobody there either. We'll go ahead and close public testimony. At this time, we'll set this bill aside.
Mr. Chairman?
I'm sorry. Senator Bishop?
I'd like to make some comments on the bill.
Please.
Mr. Chairman, I read this commission report every year, and I use it to drive budget decisions inside the Department of Natural Resources. And I appreciate this Minerals Commission's report, and I just want to, if I can, just read a couple of quick excerpts. Yep. So Dr. Miller talked about BC, British Columbia, had 18 working metal mines, and we got 5. So just hang with me for a second. A comprehensive and strategic plan could coordinate these and other considerations into an integrated statewide approach supportive of continued mineral development. While such plans exist at a federal level, to the knowledge of this commission, no individual U.S. state has developed a comprehensive mineral development plan. This is contrast to other countries with strong mining industries. And this is the money line. For example, each of the Canadian provinces has their own mineral development plan that aligns with their local mineral resource industry with Canada's nationwide objective. So maybe there's something to having a strategic plan, and they've got 18 mines and we got 5.
Yeah, it's certainly significant. Thank you very much for bringing this bill forward, Senator Merrick. Anything else to come before the committee? That concludes our agenda for this afternoon. The next hearing will be tomorrow morning, March 14th at 9 a.m. We'll be hearing from the Department of Revenue and the Office of Management and Budget with the spring revenue forecast. There's nothing else before the committee. We're adjourned at 2 p.m.